mechanism that maybe will help you. We are today in our own churches having a problem with what I consider to be an extreme position on Calvinism, hyper-Calvinism. And for that reason, I have been researching and trying to find out the root of why this all took place. And so I would like to just give you some history so that you'll understand where we are historically. The first person that wrote considering the sovereignty of God and emphasizing the sovereignty of God was Tertullian. Most of you are acquainted with that name, are you not? Well, he was one of the early church leaders, Tertullian. And then after Tertullian, there was, of course, Augustine. And Augustine and Augustinianism was based on his work called City of God, in which he went into the teachings of sovereignty. Now we're in the early 300s here. We're not very far along. But then when the Reformation came along, we had John Calvin. Now, you remember up until this time that theological problems were dealt with in church councils and so on and so forth. The Anabaptists and our forefathers were more concerned with staying alive and than in writing theological books and so on and so forth. You just didn't have the opportunity of developing scholasticism and theological systematic theology under persecution, under the threat of your life. But during this period of time, there was very little done in writing along these lines. Calvin then began to rework Augustine, and he developed the 5 points that we talked about. Then, again, as the Reformation developed at Leiden, University of Leiden, in Holland, there was a man named Arminius. And Arminius opposed Calvin's teaching in that he contended, in opposition to total depravity, that man was not totally depraved, but he was crippled, he was sick, and that it was possible for a person to be saved and then lost. The people that followed Calvin are known as Calvinists, and the people that followed this line are Arminians. They were also called the Remonstrants. Now,
so what?
Remonstrance.
The Arminian for it.
Now,
just the Arminians who were remonstrant?
Yes. The Arminians were considered the remonstrance against the Calvinists.
Sovereignty.
Yeah. He is the first theological writer that emphasizes God's sovereignty. All right. Now, as the Calvinists and the Arminians began to disagree, again, we're talking about a time of debating. We're talking about a time of they met for the Synod of Dort in Holland. The Calvinists were in charge of the Dutch Reformed Church. They called the Synod of Dort. The remonstrants were told to be there, and they came. But they were late in coming. When they got there, the Synod had already begun its binding, and they were determined to crush Arminianism. Now, the reason I want you to understand this is that what we are going to come up with is Dortian Calvinism. At the Synod of Dort, and let me remind you, that any time you get into a theological argument, you will find yourself retaking them and defending them and arguing with people, you know, and very, well, my God, I'm out here on a limb and I'm about to get chopped off, and I just
went too far.
Now that happens so many times that I just it is amusing.
You did it,
you know? Because I don't take part in that. In other words, the Bible is a Bible of interpretation. And I can understand what you say from a different idea. And I can follow. Fine. That does not mean that I do not have my own conviction. But I do not make my conviction a standard. You've either got to believe this, or you're not. Deciding to. Well, I mean, there are churches in the Fresno area that have now taken that if you don't be firm and blind to the Lord's Supper, they do not consider you part. They didn't come to what I consider just a ridiculous
experience. Well, you know, that's been something that's been going on for years. And some of the churches were born from that area there. And they were, you know, completely biased. Directly to the Calvinists.
Yeah.
And while they they finally backed it up. Now they're trying to murder it. Unreasonable.
When I got ready to put out the statement, I noticed that I didn't have a letter from the Dynamic Church. And I thought, well, not either. If you were at the State Association, remember I got that. Yeah, including one particular, because the letter was this way to some. And I said, well, I'm not going to take any more to it now. I'm going to write that who and see if I've been. And I got it. And my wife was, what in the world did you write that? She thought I'd really face an argument. Well, help me. All I asked you was, do you want to be listed in the minutes? Or was I negligent in some way and not killed? And I found out. But it was, you know, but I think that's what happened here. And now, in order, any action brings a reaction. Let me give you an example. We had a hyper-Calvinist come to California years and years ago. He used to write the Anna Horowitz. And he was going up and down the state, you know, really peddling his hyper-Calvinist. And there was an old brother, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him or not. I think he's not. He was, at that time, he edited a ministry. And now, again, you have to understand, he was reacting to this hypothesis. And he said that when it says that it repented God that he made man, that God was sorry that he had made man. And that if he had known that man was going to turn out like this, he had never meant that he was sorry that he had created. And he wrote that in the California mission. Well, I didn't, you know, I had to just laugh because I knew what the old man had done. He was really going to prove that hyper-Calvinism was wrong, but he had gone into heresy. His word, I was going to, it just really came as a shock to God that man sinned. I don't know why Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and it is such a shock. This turn of events, we just hadn't expected it at all. I had a missionary Baptist preacher one time when I was sponsoring youth camp at Hugh Lake. He's a teacher at Little Rock. And he got up and he talked about the age. Pride, man, his God, protected him, God. And finally, failed this test, he failed that. What shall we do? He was a friend. Let me do it. Oh, my God. We'll cry back.
I wish I had a father.
Oh, yeah, you know. I sat there, I was good. Anybody. You know, you're dethroning God. You're bringing, but again, Dorkian Calvinism became fatalism. And that's where you are. And what these people, they're not reflecting what Calvin said. They are reflecting what was said at the Synod of Dort and the Dutch Reformed. And they don't even know, you know, boy, they've always been Missionary Baptist. It hasn't always been Missionary Baptist. They got it from a synod of Dutch Reformed people that met at Dort. And then they, I have to look it up, it was in about 1580. But, but you see, they were trying to formulate a doctrine that could no longer be attacked. You know, we have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. If you had all the answers, you'd be God. I don't even have all the questions, much less all the answers. But you see, again, you come out with fatalism. And I consider that the way that we have come to where we are in.
Yes. Didn't even let them on monster too.
No.
I'm wondering how they ended up becoming fatalism if they didn't do any arguing with them.
Well, they offered written back and forth and written. But the Remonstrants were never allowed to participate.
Define fatalism.
What is fatalism? In other words, you know, what is already ordered this way? This is what your Mohammedan is doing. You know, it's the will of Allah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, if I eat today, it's because Allah wills. And that's where you get to in this extreme Calvinism. Why preach the gospel? The primitive Baptist. When Carey said he wanted to be a missionary, the moderator of the meeting said, "Sit down, young man. When God gets ready to save the heathen, he'll save them without you or me." But again, we're talking about English Baptists. And the modern missionary movement started when Carey said, "I want to go preach in keeping with the command of Christ to his church." And the moderator called him out of order, told him to sit down. Now, when God got ready to say that he needed to do it, he didn't need his help, he didn't need Carey's help, he didn't need anybody's help. Well, now that sounds good. But while God has elected, he's elected means as well. I believe that God elected me to be a minister of the gospel. And that I have a responsibility. And that there are people that I have a responsibility to preach the gospel. And that they have a responsibility to either accept or reject the gospel. Now, I can say, come on. Now, I don't believe that would thwart the purposes of God. I would judge it way on my head. But it would certainly affect me and my rewards and my relationship to the Lord. But there is nothing that says I have to keep on preaching. I'm not that fatalistic. You don't understand, I haven't had this offer lately. Maybe that's why I'm still Well, does this help you any to understand where some of these, again, it was a reaction. And I'm failing to write an article for our paper so that people will understand that these guys are, oh, it doesn't make any difference what J.R. Gray thought. It doesn't make a fair difference in what Betty and Bogart thought. It makes a difference what the Bible teaches. Now, certainly, we use people so and so, and that's all right. But it doesn't make it true because so and so taught. And that's just wrong. That's like people that get red letter editions of the Bible. Oh, this is good. This is what Jesus said. Let me tell you something. What Paul said is just as important as what Jesus said. It's just as implied. It's just as inspired. I don't know what it
is. You know, I've noticed for a long time that every time that you find somebody that's stepping off of a quick man and saying, they want to be somebody to back them up.
Yeah. And they're their proof text. So and so believes. So and
so. You never yourself never. My theology book, I can look at him and say, this guy's posed or nuts on it, but he's good on Jesus giving it up. Like, my Shakespeare theology, my potential person, pneumatology, I really like it. And that's up on the church.
Well, and on the left,
Shakespeare.
Yeah. Was hyper Calvinist. And, boy, you really have to understand that. And he was wrong about a merchant. But again, he had a good mind. And a lot of it, Well, and Bullinger didn't even believe in hell.
Yeah.
Fair. Did a great work on Lexington, but theologically, he was. I think that we need to be discerning. And we don't need to be bowled over because somebody quotes them. Oh, well, study for yourself. And don't be intimidated into believing something just because somebody believes it. That's another thing. Well, I guess it has to be true. Surprise. J.R. Gray believes that all of the things from Adam to the rat would be the rat. I thought John R. Rice came up with that idea first, and then when I began to read Gray, no, it was another J.R. J.R. Gray. I don't remember ever reading. Bogart published a book called The Pillars of Orthodoxy. Some of the men in that. These were writings of other men, these men he considered to be outstanding leaders, called the Pillars of Orthodoxy. But it was not his position that he was advancing. He was simply using the writings of these men and identifying their strengths that he considered to be great pastors. But then you have to go back and remember that at the time for the Bogart, premillennialism was just beginning to be accepted. In the early 1900s in the United States, postmillennialism was an option. And I thought it was dead. I didn't think there were any postmillennials left. until some time ago I visited a Presbyterian church. There was a man by the name of Lewis Evans, who at one time was a very famous preacher, pastor of the Hollywood Presbyterian Church. And it was on a Monday night. I've been out visiting, and the people were not very responsive, so I left their home, and I was driving down the street, and I passed this big Presbyterian church downtown. I knew it was that time to get back. He was making a call, and I saw that he was there. I went in, and you would have thought that the kingdom was about to man had blown the course of millions and trillions and billions of people being saved everywhere in life. Man, are you out of touch with reality? But, you know, to him, the advance of Christianity was just over. We were just taking the world for Christ. I looked around, and it was the Presbyterian Church on the planet. Third, I believe. But anyway, it was a big, large church. And the interesting thing was that I found out that a couple of weeks before, at that church, on a Sunday night service that they had for their Sunday night service, a presentation of the Broadway play Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know that he was Jesus Christ Superstar, or you really who you think you are. And Mary is being that man. Yeah, I mean, how can I love him? You know, I've loved many men, but how do I love him? The idea is that I've been a prostitute all my life now. How do I show love to this man? But I think the most blasphemous line that comes to mind is, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, are you leaving Jesus? Thank you. No, Jesus didn't think. He knew he was there all the time. Well, that was her thought, you know. Yet there was something different about him, and so her love making to him was going to have to be in some different. Anyway, let me put it this way: I would not recommend it as a Sunday night church. And yet that church, you know, well, if you look around for superficial things, you can say, "Oh, yes, Time Magazine has Jesus as a cover story." Things like this. Yeah, Christianity is big news, but it is not Christianity of life. Quite different. And simply because somebody is attracting a big crowd doesn't necessarily work. Well, let's take chapter 11 for tomorrow, and I'll, once I get this all down in my mind, I'll stop working out my frustrations in front of you. I've got to get this for an article, Brother Cross keeps bugging me for articles for the Baptist Central. He may not want this once I get it. But look up for Tully, and you'll find he really was.
I'm going to write up an article on my team.